From the series Bites of the Web, a program entitled Waking Up by Word and Song.
An offering from the studios of Virtual Renderings.
The complete playlist will be announced at the end of the program.
When I was growing up, man, I didn't even know where Iraq was. I didn't care about it. I never wanted to go there. You know, I still don't.
I never would have thought I would find myself here, 25 years old, you know, in a foreign country. First time I'd ever left our country, except for a few, booze runs to Mexico.
Right. I don't understand that. Okay.
Let's go. We gotta go.
Let's go. Go, go. Get across now. Let's go.
Look down.
If there's anyone on the roof, we're going to shoot them.
You're trying to sell to these people that you're here to help them out. And, you know, what are you doing for them? And then if you say, well, I'm bringing in bad guys, I'm bringing in terrorists, well, they're going to be like, yeah, that was my brother.
Beautiful day in New York town, folks jogging, biking, walking round. When a couple of airplanes came around, hit the big towers, knocked them down. Worst disaster on U.S. soil ever. Of course, there's the Indians, and a few million slaves, and Enron. Anyway, it was worse than Pearl Harbor. President W was flying around far away from New York town. When finally he came on TV, he said, why do they hate us? 'Cause we're free. Free to round up dark-skinned, bearded guys. Free to detain anyone who might have ties to Osama. Al-Qaeda. Somewhere in Cleveland there's some guy named Al-Qaeda, K-I-D-A. He's freaking out. Congress quickly rang the bell and tried to fight those terrorist cells with laws designed to never let this country fall to a terrorist threat. Anyone who knows, 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 anyone who might know a terrorist is a terrorist. Well, there's terrorists using your email name, sitting next to you at the ball game. Terrorists hiding in your bed, terrorists barring your head. Never seen so many terrorists. I had to turn in my own mom. You know what they say, unpaid parking tickets, AIDS terrorists. Now there's laws for this and laws for that to keep those terrorists under wraps. Some folks disagree with these and talk civil liberties. But it's like the Attorney General said, if in times like this you can talk about individual freedom, you're probably a terrorist. If you're planning air travel soon, you might want to think about a weather balloon. Nothing gets past those X-ray peekers, and don't carry nothing in your sneakers. Sorry for all the delays. If you wanna get there so dang fast, you gotta take the train.
I have never been so insulted.
Shut up, Dale.
While India and Pakistan are thinking of trading nuclear bombs, Israel and the PLO, suicide's the way to go. Meanwhile, the lessons of 9-1-1 are clear. Let's blow up the Middle East Smoking marijuana aids terrorists. Cuba's our enemy unless we need a prison camp. John Walker Lind could be your kid unless we get an economic stimulus package. And let's get that guy in Cleveland out, tied up.
Hardly wait to get the triggers loaded when the airplanes hit and the towers exploded. You should have seen them on the big TV. It was the first great war of the 21st century. The flames were still burning, they already had their man. They said he was hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan. We asked to see the evidence, they said they couldn't show. This is war, they said, and that's all you need to know. America, you're scaring me and making me ashamed. You're going out for blood and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. You wanna talk about the body count? Well, let's run it up the mast. Almost 4,000 people died in that New York City blast. And there's 5,000 people every month that you kill, strangling Iraq for a dirty dollar bill. And you wanna talk about brutality? Alright, let's get it out. Depleted uranium, now what's that all about? Innocent victims, can you even see their tears? Irradiated homelands for 4 billion years. And you want to talk about the terrorists and what makes them run? Well, you taught them everything they know. You even gave them their guns. Every killer with a grudge is just a tool to be used. And then you forget about them until they make the news. America, you're scaring me and making me ashamed. You're going up a blood and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. The justice that you claim? Yeah, but the numbers that we're talking about are a whole different game. Millions of people have no safe place to hide. That's not justice, my friend, that's genocide. So I'm gonna have my say, and I'll say it loud and clear. In every crowd, on every corner, every place I can find an ear. And you can try to shut me up, but no matter what you do, I got a right to speak, and I'm American too. America, you're scaring me and making me ashamed. You're going off of blood and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. America, you're scaring me and making me ashamed. You're going off of blood and I just can't let you do it. Not in my American name. Not in my American name.
I served my country willingly. I volunteered because of patriotic reasons. I wanted to help. We were the foremost hospital going into Iraq, going into Basra, going into Kuwait. We had to make a jump. And everywhere there was a battle zone, we would jump, take care of the wounded, the sick, and move on. As we drove on the back desert, into the desert, not even a highway, it was just a road that was created for us. There was ammunition laying everywhere. There was rounds laying everywhere. There were bunkers that were blown up. And we passed through this unprotected, a medical unit of 150. I was recruited because I was the next highest ranking female because seven men refused to go to the front. So I had to take seven other women. We're all sick. The men that stayed in the rear were perfectly healthy and they got awards. We got nothing. So what happened in the front? Out of 150 that went to the front, 40 are sick. Six have died from homicides, suicides, and heart attacks and cancer. What happened over there? We have no answers yet.
The second document comes from the Project for the New American Century, or PNAC, which is a neoconservative think tank based out of Washington, D.C. Present and former members include the likes of Jeb Bush, Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, Richard Pearl, Donald Rumsfeld, and Paul Wolfowitz. The document in question is a 90-page report called Rebuilding America's Defenses: Strategies, Forces, and Resources for a New Century. Written in the year 2000, it advocates that America capitalize on her military and economic superiority to gain unchallengeable superiority through all means necessary, including military force. It also recommends the forward redeployment of U.S. forces at new strategically placed permanent military bases. Here are some quotes to that effect. While the unresolved conflict in Iraq provides the immediate justification for U.S. military presence, the need for a substantial American force presence in the Gulf transcends the issue of the regime of Saddam Hussein. End quote. Over the long term, Iran may well prove as large a threat to U.S. interests in the Gulf as Iraq has. And even should U.S.-Iranian relations improve, retaining forward-based forces in the region would still be an essential element in U.S. security strategy, given the long-standing American interests in the region. Unquote. The quote I'm most interested in is on page 51, under chapter 5, entitled Creating Tomorrow's Dominant Force. Quote, further, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor. Unquote. Keep in mind, this was written in September 2000. For more information on Operation Northwoods and Rebuilding America's Defenses, search the internet. I'm Jody Paulson, and I just thought you should know.
You say that I'm weak, 'cause I won't back your war. Say I'm on the enemy's side, 'cause I'm not on yours. You say you'll fight for freedom and the right to choose. But then you try to silence my voice. Well, you got another thing coming to you, 'cause I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. It don't make us safe when you're on the attack. If you put your fist in someone's face, he'll knife you in the back. All the good books say it ain't right. Steal and kill. You won't take their oil and our money and drag us down the road to hell. No, I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. Yes, I am. I wanna live in a country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. I am a patriot. Yes, I am. I am a patriot.
It was, you know, Goering at the Nuremberg trials. It was being questioned, and sort of how the Nazis had done it and how they managed to get control of a very powerful country and start a world war. And he said, well, he said, it's done really through information, through propaganda. He said, no man in his right mind is going to join an army and fight in a war where he might be killed, not even a German, which was a great confession for Goebbels to make, I mean Goering to make. So they won't do it unless they feel at risk. Well, you must frighten them, you must frighten them, you must frighten them.
Find you any gun. It's not there in secrecy. It's not in our strategy. I ain't got to justify V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I'm living in a rogue nation. I'm living in a rogue nation. Plant your dreams in foreign soil. Pump some lead, then pump some oil. Fill up every tank and plane. Find a reason to start again. I ain't got to justify V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I'm living in a rogue nation. I'm living in a rogue nation. I'm living in a rogue nation. I ain't got to justify. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I'm living in a road nation. I'm living in a road nation.
There is a terrorist threat in America, and we can barely detect that our country's been wrecked by barbarians, derelict clerics with exotic names like Trent Lott and Catherine Harris. I'm going to Paris because they killed democracy in Florida. Quick, call the coroner. There's been a hostile takeover of the red, white, and blue. They finance corporate mergers, so when Enron and Congress do it, everybody gets screwed. They're holding hostages in hot factories overseas. They torture their victims with long hours and slave wages. They crave little girls, mostly Southeast Asian and Haitian. I've seen the videotape, so R. Kelly isn't the only one who should be charged with child molestation. There is a terrorist threat in the land, and it's not just the boy bands. They have a plan. It's inherited through history. They destroyed the native tribes. Now each July they celebrate their victory. Instead of making things more equal, they build prisons for poor people, pass out petty bids and life sentences to kids for selling weed and other sedatives, but they disregard the evidence when they select a rich white boy from Texas and declare a crackhead president. A draft-dodging merchant of menace with a feeble mind, and before he drops a bomb on Saddam on my dime, he better send weapons inspectors into Columbine. There is a terrorist threat in the nation. They maintain training ranches and congregate in clans. They want to steal Alaska's oil, then blame it on Iran. They tally bans and censor art for sport. They snuck into our law schools and hijacked the Supreme Court. Their money makes missiles. Their labs created anthrax. Osama was their pawn. Evil is their axis. They're skilled at killing innocent civilians because they've had lots of practice, from Hanoi to Nicaragua, from Vieques to Damascus, for agua and oil, gold, zinc, and soil. They spread their views on cable news. They call each other George and Dick and Rudy. So next time you see a terrorist, kick him in his booty. It's not only your right as an American, it's your patriotic duty.
Who's afraid of the sun? Who would question the goodness of the mighty? We who banish the threat. When your little ones all go nighty-nighty, well, there's no time for doubt right now, and less time to explain. So get back on your horses, kiss my ring, and join our next campaign, and the empire grows. More fear to conquer and more gold thread for spinning, bright as the sun shining on everyone. Some would say that we forced our words, and we find that ingenuously churlish. Words are just words. Don't be so pessimistic, weak and girlish. We like strong, happy people who don't think there's something wrong with pride. Work makes them free, and we spread that freedom far and wide, and the empire grows the seeds of its glory. For every five tanks, plant a sentimental story, till they worship the sun, even Christ loving. Kill the terrorizers and a million of the racists. But when our people torture you, that's a few random cases. Don't question the sun, it doesn't help anyone. But the journalist cried out when it was too late to stop us. Everyone had awakened the dream they could enter our colossus. And now I'm right, yeah, you said I'm right. There's nothing that can harm me, 'cause the sun never sets.
George Bush, for making it easier for me to get a Tech 9 and AR-14 than it is for me to get a pap smear and a good education. Thank you, Mr. Bush. Thank you. From the first boy I kissed, who you sent off to war in Iraq and he returned only by telegram in a box. Thank you, Mr. George Bush, from my sister, who is not proud to say that when she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 28, that she stayed married to a man that hit her so she could receive full medical benefits. Thank you. Thank you from me. Thank you from my body. Thank you from the woman that I love, who I want to marry. I want to call my wife without you standing at my back, Bible thumping daggers and demanding constitutional amendments to prevent me from loving this revolutionary love as though I could soil the sanctity of marriage. I can't. You are trying to deny me the right. It's not like you could ever touch my love or mess with my love at all. You're trying to deny me the right, which in the end I must fight for because it's a matter of voice, which is choice, which is exercising my own democracy, which in this country, and it shouldn't be, pigeonholed, marginalized, or constitutionally compromised under the pretense that who I love is destructive to the fiber that weaves the fabric of America, which after all ironically happens to be cotton. That notoriously bloody fiber that my great-grandmother and great-grandfather toiled over for no wage in Mer Rouge, Louisiana. Mr. Bush, you have forgotten that we are all Americans. You have forgotten that this country was built on the backs of blacks that were shackled, strapped, and stacked, slashed, gassed, and then taxed and cashed in on like cattle. You have forgotten that we are all America. And if you are not with us, then you are against us. Us, the 99% of the population that makes less than $1.2 million a year, the 43 million Americans that have no health care, the 14 million children that go to sleep every night hungry. You are against us, us, the tired, the poor, the people with more passion, potential, promise than money, the people, the poets, the rappers, the MCs, the street corner philosophizers, the artists, the hieroglyphic graffiti scribers. You are against us, America, the DJs, the ex-convicts, the ex-heroin junkies, the used-to-be deadbeat daddies, and the wonderful baby mamas. If you are not with us, you are against us, the black, Latino, Cuban, Asian, Eskimo, gay, lesbian, Democrat, ex-Republican, trumpet-playing, basketball-coaching, tennis-playing, American.
This is Alex Jones from Austin, Texas, a radio talk show host.
Yes, sir. With Infowars.com, both candidates are cousins. They're skull and bones. They're bringing in big government and tyranny. The evidence is clear. The military-industrial complex was intimately involved in 9/11. The commission is a complete fraud. We're losing our freedoms. Both parties are controlled. And if we don't wake up and stand up and speak out, this country's going to be destroyed. Giving up liberty only gives us tyranny. It does not give us security. And I hope that everybody out there wakes up to this and realizes that America is America because we have the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Everybody should investigate 9/11 and find out who's really behind it. It's Bush's and the New World Order's Reichstag. And his cousin Kerry isn't going to save you either. Thank you, PrisonPlanet.com.
Alex Jones.
That's a very dangerous thing when reporters believe that their silence is patriotism. Their silence is patriotism.
Silence of the media lambs.
Their silence is patriotism.
Silence of the media lambs.
Bosses always money.
Their silence is patriotism.
Silence of the media lambs.
Their silence is patriotism.
Loss is always money.
One thing I found interesting, it's been 30 years, this is the 30th anniversary this year of the Watergate break-in and of the investigative report by the Washington Post. And what's interesting is that it also, in my mind, marks 30 years since the Washington Post broke a major investigative story. Most interesting is that Carl Bernstein could never get a job at the Washington Post today. He certainly doesn't have one now. And Bob Woodward, who's the editor there, would never, ever allow the Watergate story to run because it's official denial versus an unnamed source, which is how so many investigative stories have to work. So Bob Woodward today would never run his own story. Not a chance.
There's silence of the media land. Boss is always money.
In 2000, where the rotten little story began, is months before the election, Catherine Harris, working with Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, knocked off tens of thousands of voters off the voter rolls on the grounds that they were felons, you know, criminals, you know. Okay, that's fair. If they can't vote, they can't vote. Turns out, I went and actually got the physical lists out of Kate's computers and went through the list, finding names like Thomas Cooper, convicted of a felony on January 30th, 2007. It struck me as I was wrong. And the NAACP has sued based on my investigation. We now have the information from the company that put together this nasty little hit list. 94,000 people targeted and named as felons to be removed from voter rolls before the presidential election. And guess what? I'm sure this will shock you. At least 91,000 were innocent. And of those 91,000, half were African-American and minority voters. And most of the rest were Democrats. It was a Democrat and Black American hit list. Nice stuff. That's how your president was elected.
There's silence of the media lambs. Boss is always money.
You have to understand, I reported this stuff on the nightly news of BBC Britain, Newsnight, which is carried worldwide except for the United States, the most important news show on the planet. And so everyone in the world heard exactly how George W. Bush stole the White House, except for the United States. I do one story after another, which is jammed from the airwaves, not the way that the Soviets used to jam the airwaves with electronic signals. It's jammed with money. Money stuffed into the speakers and stuffed into the mouths of the American reporters. The reason I call one of my stories for Tom Paine, Silence of the Media Lambs, is that the American reporters are a bunch of sheep who are careerists and not interested in getting out tough stories that are just going to get them in hot water with the boss. And the boss is always money.
There's silence. Boss is always money.
So I told CBS about this. They begged me for it. And I said, but okay, it's investigative material. You're going to have to do some work, investigative reporting. They never ran the story. And I said, hey, how come you didn't run the story? And they said, oh, well, we checked it out. It didn't stand up. I said, what do you mean it didn't stand up? They said, well, we called Jeb Bush's office, and they said he didn't do it. Now, that's investigative reporting, corporation style. You have to remember that in the South, Jim Crow territory, it was not very long ago in the memory of many Black voters that Black voters would be hung from trees if they try to exercise their civil rights. It's changed form from night riders with white sheets over their heads to Harvard law graduates with laptops, to use Bob Kuttner's phrase after he read my report. He called this lynching by laptop. There's silence of the media land, and the boss is always money.
I mean, I guess people could say, you know, we're stopping the stem of global terrorism. The last time I checked, all the hijackers and a good number of people like Osama came from Saudi Arabia.
Sometimes I'm thinking, man, what if there were Iraqi soldiers coming and shoving on my door? I'd be running up there with a couple guns myself, you know?
We've caught some bad guys, you know, but it's going to take a long time to change this city. It's going to take a long time.
You're back from the village. Fallujah, no.
When the president talks to God, are the conversations brief or long? Does he ask to rape our women's rights and send poor farm kids off to die? Does God suggest an oil hike when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, are the consonants all hard or soft? Is he resolute all down the line? Is every issue black or white? Does what God say ever change his mind when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, does he fake that drawl or merely nod? Agree which convicts should be killed, where prisons should be built and filled? Which voter fraud must be concealed when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, I wonder which one plays the better cop. We should find some jobs, the ghetto's broke. No, they're lazy, George, I say we don't. Just give them more liquor stores and dirty coke. That's what God recommends. When the president talks to God, do they drink near beer and go play golf while they pick which countries to invade, which Muslim souls still can be saved? I guess God just calls a spade when the president talks to God. When the president talks to God, does he ever think that maybe he's not? That voice is just inside his head when he kneels next to the presidential bed? Does he ever smell his own bullshit when the president talks to God? I doubt it. I doubt it.
While I was in Iraq, I started noting these black specks all over my skin, so I reported it. My health started changing. I was getting sick. I couldn't control my bowels and my bladder anymore. So after we pulled out of Iraq and we started cleaning our equipment to return back to the United States, I went on sick call. They said it had to be something mechanical, you need to have it checked once you return back to the United States. I did that my first night home. I said to my husband, something's wrong with me. I don't feel the same. My brain doesn't feel the same. My body doesn't feel the same. Something happened over there, and I knew it wasn't combat stress because that war was so quick and so rapid. I was in more situations than that war. So I started seeking answers. As I start seeking answers, I was threatened to lose my military career, and that happened. So I went publicly to find out what's going on with the Desert Storm soldiers. Why are our people in our units sick? Someone, an atomic veteran, called me and says, you have depleted uranium poison. What's depleted uranium? I have no idea what that is. We knew we took anthrax, the experimental drugs, the botulinum, the pyridostigmine, the experimental pills our government gave us. But what was depleted uranium?
Uranium munitions whatsoever, because on impact it creates such fine oxides and dust that there is no effective respiratory or skin protection that can protect our soldiers. That again has been known clearly since 1943 from during the Manhattan Project when they started working with us. We found out rapidly that the uranium contamination was so extensive in and around each and single incident that, as adopted by the United States Department of Defense, all military personnel must wear full respiratory and skin protection within probably 50 meters of any single incident. We also verified that the uranium munitions dust or oxides, which is called spalling, would be resuspended forever unless it was physically disposed of.
So the uranium aerosolizes into a uranium oxide, and the dust and debris that's created on impact, what kind of particle size are we talking about in that debris and that dust and aerosol?
Well, we know what happened to our cells, that the gas masks are totally ineffective because the particle size is down in the range of 0.1, 0.2 micron. That is extremely small. And the best gas mask the Army has only handles probably 0.5, 0.6, 0.7 micron and above. And we verified what happened to us because all of our cells, all of us started getting sick with respiratory problems. We could smell and taste the uranium, even though we were in full protection, which indicates the stuff went right through it. And again, that's been known since 1943. When I talked to one of the last living gods of the Manhattan Project recently in the last year, he verified they knew that from day one. Well, the Iraqi civilians have suffered extensively because of the use of uranium munitions. Again, when we know for a fact, as photographically proven and direct on-site measurements, for example, Scott Peterson of the Christian Science Monitor, absolutely verified uranium munitions are scattered all over the city of Baghdad and all other areas. And the men, women, and children are working and around them. They're living in that area. They're picking the stuff up. And again, that's verified the Gulf War I, and it's also verified the Balkans, and we have the same thing in Afghanistan. Radioactive dust spread all over the place where people inhale and ingest, and as absolutely verified and stated by the United States Department of Defense, will make food and water unusable. It's simple. You can't do it. This is deliberate spreading of solid radioactive waste, not just 1 pound, but hundreds and hundreds of tons in another nation's backyard where the women and the children will be affected forever unless it's cleaned up. The health effects that we experienced right away absolutely match what was stated would occur in the Groves Memorandum in 43. We developed the respiratory problems, which has now been verified and diagnosed as reactive airway disease. That all started within a day to 2 days. And again, this is due to the particulate damage. Originally, the fine particles irritating the whole lung system, respiratory system, and then that was followed by the radiological damage due to tissue damage from alpha beta particles. In addition to that, the first team members started to develop cancer within 9 months. That was in the nasal and pharyngeal passageway, and then the lung cancers and first deaths from that started within 2 years.
Military industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex, but all they're doing is paying dues to the military industrial complex. The military, the monetary. The military, the monetary. The military, the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago, I hadn't heard the summit. Now, all of a sudden, he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary. They took the dignity from the dignitaries. They took the secrets from the secretary, but they left stiff and obituary. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles in the Saudi Arabian sanctuary, kept us all wondering if all of this was really, truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace
peace ain't coming this way. If we only work for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war, it is a time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. People say, what you gonna do? We hounded the Ayatollah religiously. Bombed Libya and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. Knowing all you know. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians. Watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the armies, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. The military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war. Make a whole lot of money, start a little trouble, it's a war. Turn this planet in the north and south, it's a war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
Peace. Say it to yourself. I believe we got to work for peace.
Peace ain't gonna be free.
I don't gotta work for peace.
Do you believe in peace?
I don't go to work.
Got folks out there working for war.
Nobody.
Start a little trouble over here. What you got is war.
Had to go to
turn
work.
These folks in the north
everything
and south.
Really
war.
Had to go to
start
work.
A little trouble
everything
over here. What you
ever
got is
war.
Had to go to
tell
work.
Anybody
work
you know
time.
We gotta work for peace.
Gotta work.
Gotta
we
work.
Believe
gotta
in
work.
Peace.
Time to go to work.
And as other speakers have said, they knew the American people wouldn't stand for it, and they said so in their documents. And they said, unless there's that new Pearl Harbor. Well, 9/11 did supply that, and we've been lied to not only about the war, but about 9/11 itself. The Bush administration was warned. They were warned by the Clinton administration during the transition period. They were warned by the intelligence agencies of 11 other nations. They were specifically warned by one FBI agent that Mousawi was planning on flying a hijacked airliner, quote, into the World Trade Center, unquote. They ignored the warnings. More than that, we have mounting evidence that at least they made it impossible for those planes to be intercepted. If our government had merely did nothing, and I say that as an old interceptor pilot, I know the drill, I know what it takes, I know how long it takes, I know what the procedures are, I know what they were, and I know what they've changed them to. If our government had merely done nothing and allowed normal procedures to happen on that morning of 9/11, the Twin Towers would still be standing and thousands of dead Americans would still be alive. My sisters and brothers, that is treason. As a combat veteran, I will not stand idly by and watch our security destroyed by a president who went AWOL rather than serve in Vietnam. As one who's devoted his life to the security of this country, I will not stand by and watch an appointed president send our sons and daughters around the world to kill Arabs for the oil companies. Patriotism demands that I speak out and call it by its name. It is treason.
just didn't have prior knowledge of September 11th Al-Qaeda attacks. They actually funded, trained, protected, shepherded Al-Qaeda into this country. Trained many of the terrorists at the Pensacola Naval Air Station.
Amadeus, Mockingbird, Watchtower and the Bilderberg, MK Ultra, COINTELPRO, Operation Northwards and the Slaughter at Waco. World Trade Center in 93, accomplished with the FBI's complicity. Upon examination of such history, could there have been a coup through the death of J.F. Kennedy?
First you told Sony, through you could we know God, and if we dared to question, then he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood, fought so many pointless wars. And now you build your fences, and you say there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to
you've been listening to a collage called Waking Up by Word and Song. We began this hour with a piece from a movie trailer called Operation Dreamland by filmmakers Garrick Scott and Ian Olds. That was followed by a musical piece entitled Al-Qaeda Blues by Dan Byrne. Next, an a cappella piece from a woman in the street, unknown, entitled This is a Rich Man's War. That was followed by a My American Name, an advanced copy, artist Jim Page. We then heard an excerpt from The Truth About the Troops, an FSTV piece, I believe, put out by a group known as SNAFU. The acronym stands for Support Network for an Armed Forces Union. Sounds like a swell idea to me. Then another spoken word piece by Jody Paulson, entitled PNAC. Then Gore Vidal gave us a short piece called How the Nazis Did It. That was followed by music, a piece entitled Rogue Nation from Collier. Then another spoken word piece by Steve Coleman entitled A Terrorist Threat. Then some music, Empire by Dar Williams, followed by Thank You, Mr. Bush. Another street side oration, it sounds like, again, by an unknown woman. Then a short C-SPAN piece entitled Alexis Jones Speaking Out. Then an excerpt from a collage entitled Silence of the Media Lambs. I don't have the artist's name on that one. And then that was followed by another piece from that movie trailer, Operation Dreamland. Next, Bright Eyes did a piece called When the President Talks to God, followed by another excerpt from The Truth About the Troops, put out by SNAFU. Then another small collage, an excerpt entitled Depleted Uranium. Then Gil Scott-Heron did Military Industrial Complex, edited for Time. And then an excerpt of a speech entitled Oil Mafia, and that was done by retired Air Force Colonel Robert Bowman. We followed with Fight the Corruption by Funk Space, and we end with The Commons by David Rovix.
Our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and cheese. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain.
It is treason. It is treason. It is treason. It is treason.